Well, we're happy to have Brother Carlton and Sister Chan, Sister Catherine to be here in our midst for this convention. And you probably noticed there's a pumpkin over here and a pumpkin over there, and it reminds you of Thanksgiving, doesn't it? Well, Brother Carlton, the subject is Thanksgiving from A to Z. Brother Carlton.
Thank you, Brother Bleachers and Brother Ray, for that prayer. And my dear brethren, how grateful we are to be with you once again here in Florida. We bring you a load of love from your brethren in Portland. They all voted on Wednesday and Sunday to have their love sent to you here. And we visited with a dear sister that is now living with us there in where we meet. We meet at the retirement center, our class does. And so a lot of brethren from various areas have moved there. And Sister Sophie Rawson is one of them. And Sophie is not well, but she still remembers you all here in Florida and wishes you well, and ask your to remember her as well. She has Parkinson's disease, and it's taking its toll, as a lot of our dear brethren there in our classes are under the weather now and are needing care. We just had one of our brothers, Brother Harvey Brown, that just turned 99, and his dear wife will be 92 in December. But all of them want to be remembered to you and remember all of you here. And so that's our load of love. And we bring love from our children and their families. Always when we leave, they want their love sent, as well as our granddaughter, Angela, who has traveled with us and been here before. So you have the love now. In a few weeks, we'll be celebrating a national holiday, Thanksgiving. But you know how grateful we are that we can be thankful for what God has given to us. And I thought for today that we would just review, and I will not be able to even go into half of them. Your list of Thanksgivings will probably far outweigh anything that I can bring to your attention, but I'm going to give you a few of the things that that I'm thankful for and that we all should be thankful for. Our first text is, "Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 15:57. "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Of course, that's the gift of our Lord and Savior, is it not? 2 Corinthians 9:15. "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you by your faith, for now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy which we joy for your sakes before our God?" 1 Thessalonians 3:7 and 9. "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." Psalms 116, 17. It has become a national holiday, as we've said, here in the United States, celebrating the harvest and other blessings of the past year. It originated, of course, in the autumn of 1621, when Massachusetts Bay Governor William Bradford invited neighboring Indians to join the Pilgrims for a three-day festival of recreation and feasting in gratitude for the bounties of the season. By the end of the 19th century, Thanksgiving Day had become an institution throughout New England and was proclaimed as a national holiday by President Abraham Lincoln in 1863. Now, we feel sure that a great number of people do give thanks for all the bounties of the past. But it also has become a very, very commercial holiday. The shopkeepers put great stock in and these days as a means of getting a little more out of the pockets of the people. We're glad that a time, though, is set aside for more people than usual to praise and thank God for everything that God has done for them. And we notice at this time of the year, especially how they will feed the hungry, how they will give money for those that have a need of extra, like, for instance, for their fuel and so forth in their homes. But it's just a few days of the year. And we wonder sometimes just how thankful we really are. We are glad, as we have said, that a time is set aside for more people than usual to praise and thank God. But how much more can the Lord's consecrated people give thanks for all that the Heavenly Father has done for them? It would be impossible to count all the ways that we can thank Him. But as our last text has read, I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. Yes, we can and should offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and always call upon His name. So for a few minutes, let's go through the alphabet and see what we can find there from A to Z that God has provided for us. We'll use A for our angels. Hebrews 1:14 tells us that are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who should be heirs of salvation? Yes. Can you imagine the heavenly beings sent by the Heavenly Father and our Lord for the purpose to minister to those who will be heirs of salvation? We have seen the unseen powers who are hourly and daily watching over our every affair. Do we really appreciate this? Can we really be thankful enough for this fact that God has made it sure that you are being and I am being watched over? Psalms 91:11, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all their ways. If I was to go back and tell you all of the times that I know that God has intervened in my life in ways of, and Catherine's life here now and saved it. Saved me several times from accidents. Saved us from death. And I'm sure that you all will have many ways that you could tell me as well how God's ministering spirits have helped you. And then for B, we have our bread. But you know, I'm going to leave that out for a while. You know the scriptures, how Jesus is the bread of life. But this morning, when it was brought to our attention about the brethren, I would like to use that as as our letter B in thanksgiving. We have so many different scriptures that tell us about our brethren, how we should be appreciative of our brethren, how we should learn to love our brethren regardless of how they might at times treat us. Are we thankful that we have our brethren, that we have each other? We should be so thankful. We are the family of God in one sense, and will be the family of God, which will help and will be able to help with Jesus' guidance. We'll be able to help all the families of mankind. If we can remember how to love our brethren. Are we appreciative and thankful for our calling? 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you should walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Brother Obi brought that to our attention. Think of it. Think of being called to the highest calling of all, to be running for the prize of glory, honor, and immortality. Is that possible? We as little human beings, that we could be called and given an opportunity to be called the sons of God now and in the future, to be with God and with Jesus and with the angels, and be part of this group that will bless all the families of mankind. 1 Corinthians 1:26, for you know your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh or mighty or noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. What a wonderful thought this is. Yes, certainly we can see that we need to learn humility. We need to stand humbled before our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus. God has not called those many of them rich or mighty. There have been a few. Yes, there have been a few, but not many. Not many noble. But God has chosen those, the little ones, the ones who realize their own unworthiness to be called his sons. What a wonderful prospect we have laying before us. To think that God would condescend to choose such as we to follow in Christ Jesus' footsteps and be called the sons of God. And to have the hope of living and reigning with Almighty God and with Jesus on the divine plane. Oh, if we could catch the magnitude of this blessing. Let us raise our voice in thanksgiving daily. In our D is day, we are thankful for the day in which we are living. Are we thankful to see what's going on around us? Has been brought to our attention already from this platform? No, of course we're not. But why are we glad to be living in this day? 1 Thessalonians 5:1 and 2, of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need to write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. What do we mean by that? Well, Jesus said that if he would go away, he would come again. What was the purpose of his coming again? Was it just to bless all of the families of this earth? Yes, he laid down his life for us all. But he said that he came to take his family home, to prepare a place for them, and so that he would come quietly and unobserved by mankind. Mankind, many of the religious groups of the world are looking forward to this time of Jesus' return, but mainly they're fearful of it. But we know that he has arrived. He is here, and he's now rewarding those who have condescended to lay down their lives in sacrifice, to give up everything of this world so that they might be with him in the kingdom. Yes, John 14:2-3, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that you may be also. And brethren, he has returned. He is here, and he is rewarding those who will be part of his body. We who have had our spiritual eyesight opened see that indeed, according to his promise, he has returned invisible, taking the affairs of the world in his hands. But the first work is that of rewarding and taking home his family, his children, his saints to himself. And we should and can be ever so thankful for this knowledge, this day in which we are living. Daniel 12 tells us, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Next, our E for our going through the alphabet is our eyes and ears. I just about dropped this on the floor. For they see and they hear. Blessed are your eyes and your ears, for they see and hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Do we really appreciate this blessing of knowing about the plan of the ages, as Brother Opie has pointed out this morning? You know, that's how I too came into this truth, by reading that first volume. And I remember when I first consecrated my life to the Lord, I went through every one of those volumes. I would take them to work with me, and on my lunch hour, I would read. And thank God it gave me the privilege of understanding God's plans and purposes. No, we should appreciate this blessing and never be puffed up and proud of the fact that these things have been revealed to us. We don't have to go around telling everybody, oh, I have all of this knowledge. You don't have this knowledge. But God has revealed it to us through the aid of the Holy Spirit. And without it, we couldn't understand, brethren. So we should be appreciative of this fact. We should be humbled and desirous to bring some of the blessings that have been shown to us, that we might bring these same blessings to those others that we come in contact with. Let us never lose our faith or be slack in it. God is now rewarding those whose faith is bright and strong and whose wills are resolute. Oh, that's our F letter, isn't it? Faith. How strong is our faith? We're told that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:1. And Mark 11:22 reads, have faith in God. Luke 17:5, Lord, increase our faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. How wonderful it is that we can be blessed with enough faith to realize and see beyond this veil of tears that's going on now to what lies ahead. And have enough faith to know that every word that God has spoken of, every promise that he has promised us, will become a reality. Our G is our garment. Here's another blessing. Isaiah 61:10 reads, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Thank you, Lord, for this assurance that our imperfections are covered. We know that our righteousness is like filthy rags, as we read in 64:6, and without this robe covering our imperfections, we would not be able to make our calling and election sure. The psalmist seals this thought of our sins being covered in the 32nd Psalm, where he says, blessed is he whose transgressions are covered, whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. How wonderful it is that we can have this covering. H is for our handiwork. Now here is another seemingly yet wonderful blessing that the Lord has given to all of mankind, not just to you and to me. The psalmist says in the 19th Psalm, the heavens declare God's glory, and the firmament shows daily his handiwork. How wonderful to be able to look up into the sky and see the millions upon millions, the billions that there actually is of the stars, the lights of heaven. The sun brightening and giving life to all that it touches. The silent moon in its course. And the beautiful flowers and the trees and nature in its course. Can we really truly be thankful to the Heavenly Father and appreciate his character by seeing all of these things that he has provided for us? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And I is for our inheritance. Do we know what it really means to have an inheritance? From an earthly standpoint, it means that we are the receivers of some wealth, whether property, money, or from a mere practical standpoint, it means to come into a family relationship. Our inheritance, if we're faithful, those who have come into Christ will become heirs. Heirs. Yes. Heirs with him in all glory and honor. The honor of the heavenly realm. In Galatians 3:29 we read, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise is found back in Genesis 22 and 12. The magnitude of the promises of God becoming part of this family of God is almost mind-boggling. To inherit the glory of God, to have immortality, life in oneself. Yes, see the Father and the Son, to be where they are and to see all the heavenly hosts. What an inheritance lies before us, dear brethren. Let us be faithful and thankful to God daily for what he has promised us. J is for justice. Here's another blessing that we might overlook. God's justice is part of his throne. It is the foundation principle that makes up all of his dealings with the heavenly and earthly beings. God has to be just before he can be merciful. His justice condemned Adam to death. His justice demanded a corresponding price before release could be granted. How do we apply this quality of God in our lives? First, we need to learn more clearly what are our rights and the rights of our fellow creatures, and in and out of the church as well. Justice would not under any circumstances infringe on the rights, interests, or liberties of others. If all new creatures could study the principles of justice and love them, there would be very little, if any, friction. We need to thank God daily for his justice and his love, and then set about to imitate them to the best of our ability. The K is for kingdom. Are we thankful for the prospect of His kingdom?
Been brought to our attention.
We need to be thankful for this, brethren, daily. Do we pray daily for its establishment? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. No, I'm not sure sometimes that I'm as thankful for that prospect of the kingdom as I should be. We know that soon the new creation will be complete. And when it is, that kingdom then will come to mankind. Do you want to be part of that? Do you want to have that privilege of blessing all of the families of this earth? I certainly do. And so I want to be thankful for everything about this kingdom and pray daily for its soon establishment. Are we doing all we can to bring to the attention of the world the need for and the coming reality of the kingdom? That's quite a question. Are we making ourselves ready and faithful unto death to be the instruments used in conjunction with our Lord Jesus in bringing this kingdom to the groaning members of the human race? We are told to seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be subservient to it. And in our Lord's Prayer, we are taught always to pray for this kingdom. Let the glorious scriptures describing this wonderful kingdom, such as Isaiah 35 and Revelation 21, fill our hearts with gratitude to our Heavenly Father daily. L is for liberty. What a word, liberty. Nations have fought over it, and many have died to obtain it. The Lord's people, of all people, should thank God that we have found liberty through Christ Jesus our Lord. Freedom from God-dishonoring doctrines of hellfire, Trinity, the Mass, and so forth. Freedom to think and to reason for ourselves, to search the Scriptures daily, to know God's will. And then in Hebrews 13:15 we read, "By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually with our lips." Another word for L. Yes, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually, that is, the fruit of our lips. Doing what? Giving thanks to His name. How well are we really using our lips to praise God? Ephesians 4 and 25 tells us to speak every man the truth with his neighbor. We have a commission to tell forth the glad news. In Romans, the first chapter, and verse 16, we read, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." We have much liberty, brethren, and we need to give this liberty and show this liberty to all that we come in contact with, that soon this old, wicked earthly condition will vanish, be gone, and that peace and righteousness will prevail. M is for our mediator. How can we thank the Heavenly Father for the knowledge of the mediator? Well, you say, well, we should be first thankful maybe for the advocate, because he is our advocate. In 1 Timothy 2:3-5, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all to be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Did you know that you have a the privilege of becoming part of that mediator? Do. If we're faithful. Moses stood between Israel and God, and he himself said in Deuteronomy 18:15, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken." This is a future promise. Yes, and when we consider that if we are faithful, we'll be part of that mediator, his body, and that the work will be what? To restore mankind back to perfection. How thankful we should be for this knowledge. N is for the narrow way. Here's another blessing. We might not think sometimes the narrow way, which is a very difficult and steep way, is a blessing. This covenant made with God required a walk, a difficult walk. The way to glory, honor, and immortality was described as the narrow way in Matthew 7:13-14. For there we read, enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go that way. Because narrow is the gate, and hard is the way which leads unto life, few there be that find it. Well, we can thank God that he has given us this opportunity to walk in this narrow path. We remember what we had to do to come into this way. It was like that little gate that entered into the city where the animals could get in, and they had to come down low and crawl through. And so we have to humble ourselves and give ours all to the Heavenly Father. And going through this narrow way, we're going to find many difficulties. Many things are going to go against the grain, so as to speak. But brethren, it's a blessing that God has given to us to walk in this way, regardless of how hard it might be. Our God has purposely provided the narrow way that only those who earnestly endeavor and diligently strive to overcome the world, the flesh, and the adversary will gain life on the divine plane. Let's remember and be glad that we have this way to lead. O is for our opportunities. After entering this narrow way, we are given ever so many opportunities to prove our love for Almighty God and our Lord Jesus. We have a scripture that we all know very, we can know it by heart. As we have opportunity, let us do what? Good unto all, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Are we taking daily opportunities to see what we can do for one another? Are we daily seeing how we might give to our neighbors or our workers a help, a helping hand? You know, we have this opportunity. And some of the ways we might fulfill these opportunities for ourselves, you could visit the sick. You can give a word of encouragement to our Christian neighbors or friends. We have the privilege of letter writing, tracting, phoning, praising, all worthwhile deeds that we see. There are ever so many ways to do good unto all. If you have a car, you can use it for the betterment of others. Do we take or make time to do these things? Thank God who gives us these opportunities to bring glory to His holy name. Let's always be thankful for everything, again, that God gives to us. P is for prayer. You'll notice I waited until now to mention the privilege and the blessings of prayer. Prayer is our hotline to heaven. Prayer is the Christian's lifeline. We are told to pray always without ceasing. That is, prayer should be made not just when we are in trouble, but when, as the apostle says, when we are even abounding, when the good times as well as the bad times come to us. I think we sometimes forget how we are to pray always through Jesus' name. Ephesians 2:18. I think we'll read that one. Ephesians 2:18. See if that's the one I had in mind here. Well, it's close. For through Him we both have access, through Jesus, by one Spirit, unto the Father. You know, we can pray directly to the Father and expect to be heard. We know that He will hear us. He may not always answer our prayers when we expect an answer to them. He might wait for a while. Maybe we need something, or maybe we're not getting what we want when we are praying for it, and we wonder why. I can remember Brother David Bruce one time in our class said in a discourse, he said that this sister was having a problem, and she had prayed to the Heavenly Father for that problem to be answered. And the next Wednesday night, she missed going to the meeting, and her prayer was answered in that meeting. Yes, sometimes we do forget how we should pray and whom who we are talking to. We should ask for the will of the Father to rule us. Quietness is our next one, and how thankful we can be for the peace we have, for He giveth quietness, and when He giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? Ecclesiastes 4:6, better is a handful of quietness than both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. R is for reason. We can thank God for the ability to think and to reason. Ecclesiastes 7:25, I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek wisdom and the reason of things. Isaiah 1:18, come let us reason together, saith the Lord. For God is pleased to have His children consider and weigh what they hear and not just blindly stumble on heedless of His word. I'm wondering whether I'm going to get done. I thought I was looking at my time correctly, but evidently I missed it. Sanctification is for S. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This word means to purify or make holy. It stands to reason then that the word of God is a transforming word. We have to change ourselves. Thank the Lord that He has given this opportunity to us. T is for temptations. Are we glad for our tests? Not always. Not always. Especially when they're hard. Our Lord needed trials and tests that He might demonstrate His overcoming spirit. And are we any different than the Lord? No. U is for understanding. This understanding is our knowledge that we get. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. For wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. V is for victory. 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Do we want to be victorious? Well, even the great company is victorious, but it will not be that victory of the 144,000. W is for work. Here again is another word akin to opportunities. And basically, every one of us has at least one talent. If you don't think you have a talent, you're just fooling yourself. Because if you could do nothing but lay in bed and couldn't move an arm or a leg, what could you do? You could pray. You could pray. We don't have a word in the Bible for X. So we'll go on to Y as our yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And there you will find rest for your souls. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Z is for zeal. Are you tired and weary? Jeremiah was. And then he said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary and forbearing and could not refrain. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. So God is measuring our love for him now by how much zeal we have. And when we're tired and want to stay home from meeting, when perhaps there's a public meeting and we can put out tracts or go to the radio station or TV, we can find excuses for not doing. But let us be thankful if we have a burning desire to do God's will. Push on, fellow travelers, for you have much to be thankful for. Thanksgiving from A to Z.